Where did the road go? Off-road edition.
All right, so this is a quick off-road edition of Where Did the Road Go, and I'm here with Super Inframan and Christopher Ernst.
Hello.
Hello.
And one of the things that struck me that I wanted to talk about here, Rainn Wilson calls out anti-Christian bias in Hollywood after Last of Us episode. And I thought, now, first of all, Last of Us is excellent. I never played the games, but I would say this is probably the best video game adaptation I've ever seen. It's very dark.
Yeah.
The first time they hit controversy was with episode 3. And episode 3 is almost a movie length episode about these two gay men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is incredibly well done. Personally, I hated it. Because it was a love story in the middle of my horror story.
Right, right.
Fair
and,
enough.
And it
doesn't
had nothing.
Doesn't matter who's in it.
Right.
If it's a love story, I don't want to see it.
And it was two characters who are not relevant.
Yeah.
It was the backstory of these two characters who are not relevant to the overall story. I mean, they are in the game briefly, I guess. But they built this whole, you know, and like I said, like there were people out there who loved this thing and thought it was one of the best things they've ever seen on television. They were crying. That's fine. I don't want a love story in my horror series, especially 3 episodes in when I don't even know the main characters yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't like that episode, but I appreciate how well done it was. And there there were some cool parts in it. But then they get up to this one. This is the second to last episode. No spoilers here for anyone who hasn't seen it. But, you know, Rainn says, well, I knew this guy was a villain because he started spouting Bible verses. I see his point. I do. Because, you know, he's right. If you have a character spouting out Bible verses, yeah, they're probably going to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
But also in a show like this, most people they encounter are probably going to be antagonists.
Right. But I mean, honestly, man, I'm sorry, Rainn, but like anybody who I have met who spouts Bible verse in my life has usually ended up not being a very good person, particularly somebody like who's spouting it. And I'm not talking about somebody who you're talking with and you end up getting in a conversation and it turns out that they know the Bible very well. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who is, you know, spouting Bible verse. And I haven't seen this show, but if he's like a preacher, I don't know, man. I mean, it sounds like, you know, like it.
I would say that's pretty much how I felt about it. Like it's the extremists of anything. It doesn't matter if it's Christianity, Islam, but it's the extremists of it.
And I'm saying this, and I very, you know, will publicly say right now, I am not a Christian, but I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe that Jesus Christ existed, and I believe that he was, you know, some sort of avatar of, you know, essentially what he said he was. To some degree, or at least had, you know, exists in the way that I think people who are true sort of Christian mystics at heart, you know, understand, you know, what the teachings were, maybe, you know, whoever you believe them to come from. I do think that, you know, there was a Jesus that existed who, believe it or not, is buried in Kashmir, as I have heard.
Really?
But that's a whole other thing. As somebody who believes that, I do think that the Catholic Church, Christian churches in general, have, you know, corrupted to a very, you know, terrible degree whatever originally existed there. And I think the Bible too is, you know, you can read it and there's some very interesting things in it, but you have to read it with the same sort of scrutiny that you would like a, I don't know, Dinesh D'Souza book or something like that, you know, or somebody with a very distinct political slant that's writing something about Trump or Biden these days, you know? Because that's what it, you know, it's as much as they try to keep things, true, you have to have anything that has been through the sort of formalization of religion. This is, you know, the Muslim, this is Islam, this is, you know, Christianity, this is, you know, Mormonism, you know, sects, whatever, Hinduism, Zoroastrianism, you have to realize that it's if it's going through humans and, you know, the body politic and society, it's going to get corrupted. So there's a lot of work one has to do to go back and sort of, and that's not to say that you can't find really interesting things. Like if you go back and look at the entire Apocrypha of, you know, that comes of Christianity, there's some interesting stuff, particularly in the Gospels that were not included, you know, in the, after the Council of Nicaea. It's, you know, this is my knee-jerk reaction to Rainn Wilson's knee-jerk reaction, but
So we live in a culture where obviously people do bad things, both Christian and non-Christian, but because so many people in our culture are Christian, the number of Christians doing bad things is pretty high. Not because they're Christian.
In the name of Christianity,
But it's because people will use that as an excuse for what they're doing.
They do. Well, they do. And you know, one thing I would point that, especially, we've done a lot to use religion to justify our actions. I mean, they use the Bible to just justify slavery. I mean, think about that. But, you know, the other end of this, too, is you have to think about the way we make villains in any type of narrative. Like the best ones are always the corruption of something that's supposed to be good.
True.
Of course you do that. You know, my favorite sort of reversal of this, as sort of like a like The Stand or something like that, where you use religion as a post-apocalyptic narrative, is the Book of Eli
with Denzel.
I don't know if y'all have seen that, but
That was good.
You know, it's a really neat movie because, you know, spoiler, he's blind and he's the only person, he's got the last copy of the Bible left on the planet. And Carnegie, that's like the patriarch of the city that they go to, wants the Bible and is, you know, trying to kill him because he's got power. If he has the Bible, he can. And the power, of course, is not literal power. It's metaphorical power because he knows it can sway masses.
Yeah.
And you find out by the end of the movie, the actual Bible gets destroyed, but Eli has it memorized and he recites it and they record it before he passes away. But it's a different version or take of the post-apocalyptic sort of like biblical story set in a Mad Max world or like that. But it never hits you over the head with its, you know, use of Christianity as a faith. And Eli at some point talks about hearing a voice in his head that's guided him this whole time. It's done really well.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I remember liking it.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. But you know, I'm also like Chris, like, and of course I grew up in the South, so everybody is religious. But sometimes it's more of like a cultural thing that they just do as opposed to a spiritual belief. And so I've met, you know, hundreds of people that, are very happy to use and twist Bible verses to fit, you know, whatever action they're trying to do.
I mean, you've seen it in the witch hunts.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, Christianity has a very bloody history. And in recent times, I think, you know, part of its problem comes from the Catholic Church with the pedophilia. And that goes right down into things like Boy Scouts, which is Christian oriented.
Yeah.
So, you have some very bad people associated with this stuff.
Yeah. Well, it even with some of these orphanages and things, I was looking at some stuff in Ireland where, like children were being left at orphanages and, you know, they would find mass graves behind the church orphanage. And you're like, oh, my God, they killed all of these kids.
Yeah.
And I think I've heard some similar stuff related to Indigenous persons in Canada.
Yes. Absolutely. I was just going to say that.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is. You know, and not to say that I've obviously not met people that are Christians that are amazing people. I have, but they don't quote Bible verses aloud before they do.
No, not at all.
And that's the thing with this. Like, I don't know if it's so much anti-Christian as much as this was taking this idea of these extremists who then utilize religion in a negative way.
Religious zealotry, absolutely. And if it's going to happen in America, I'm sorry, in a post-apocalyptic America, it's probably going to be Christianity. Right, if it's happening in a post-apocalyptic Iran, it's probably going to be Islam, you know, just because of geographics.
Yeah. So this guy has been on, I started following him on Instagram, but I wanted to just suggest him if you're looking for a biblical scholar.
Is this the guy that does Bible, a history in the Bible?
Oh, no. This is Dan McClellan.
Oh, yeah.
He's a Mormon,
yeah,
of all things, but he will just dig into like the context of any text, the data that exists around it, and just say, like, here's what was probably going on at that time and what this meant. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of stuff on Yahweh's wife, Ishtar, and when she got, there's different names there, when that became omitted over X number of centuries and things like that. Yeah. And this guy is he's a practicing Mormon, but he's not afraid to say, you know, this is what the text meant then. And don't let people tell you this because of Y, or don't let tell you people this because of Z. And he's very blunt. The other day he did an interesting thing because he's very like socially progressive, very pro LGBTQ. But he brought up Leviticus and a couple of other things. He's like, you know, we argue over how this was translated, but if you go back to the original language, like, it still was basically speaking against homosexuality between men. But you follow that up with, that doesn't mean you should be using a text from this far back to persecute a whole group of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and so, well, yeah, I mean, the Old Testament is. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole different ballgame than the New Testament.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was willing to not, you know, work the meaning to fit his views.
Yeah.
But tell you, like, this is unfortunately what it said. Yeah. And,
Yeah. when you look at those texts, these things were written shortly after basically the end of the world.
Yes.
So you had a very small amount of humans left on the planet. So when logically, you would want to warn against things like masturbation or homosexuality, anything that isn't procreative.
Yeah.
Because if people don't procreate, humans weren't going to make it.
Yeah.
And humans are also notoriously prejudicial and exclusionary towards those who are different.
Oh, sure.
So,
sure.
Yeah.
That's, you know, tribalism. That
could easily have been happening as well, too, in terms of just, you know, normal sort of, you know, you're different, we don't like you.
Yeah. But I do think in the Old Testament, you got to look at some of that stuff in light of when it was written.
Absolutely.
Which is when, you know, we were recovering from the end of the last ice age.
Especially, Old Testament. And then, you know, he'll get into talking about Dan again. There's some series of some of his videos where he'll talk about the origins of he uses the term Adonai because people asked him to stop using Yahweh. Because, you know, depending on your faith, that can be offensive to use the name.
Right.
But, you know, where this started, was it a Canaanite god? Was it this other god that was next door? Was it a variation of Baal? You know, all these things. And, you know, how it was really tied to this, like, one specific thing to one specific people. And, you know, other gods existed. They just weren't this particular groups of people's gods, even though they believed the other gods were out there.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And how all this moves through time and how we, you know, things have changed and it's become what it is now.
So, I mean, when you say, like, does Hollywood have an anti-Christian agenda or, you know, anti-Christian bias? I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think you see a little bit of everything from every side.
I think it has an anti-religious bias what it does.
It does in general,
I would agree with that.
I think that, you know, Hollywood is, you know, it's sort of part of the atheist machine, you know. The atheist capitalist machine, which, you know, really, you know, it worships the almighty dollar.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
And I think that there's some sort of, like, the idea of making fun of religious zealotry is a big part of a Hollywood trope. And that's another thing, is that in this day and age, Hollywood and the industry, and I can say this, you know, from whatever special weird, you know, perspective I have, I'm not really an insider, but it's, you know, people are scrambling to, you know, regurgitate intellectual property. I mean, this is based on a video game, you know what I mean? Denigrating video games, but something that by and large already has this different narrative experience, and you're trying to reinterpret it just to make money and not coming up with something original. So, yeah. You know, what he's criticizing is a trope, and tropes can always be kind of wonky, you know, like the Bible spewing, you know, preacher being a bad guy. Sure. It's the trope the same way as, you know, ululating Arab terrorist is a trope too.
Right.
And you know, both aren't necessarily, I mean, they're representative of something that does exist, which is zealotry, but you know,
in a very small percentage. Rainn Wilson,
it's like Rainn Wilson should go and try to do something funny instead. Like he haven't done anything of that like that recently. You're a comedian. Go be a comedian.
All right. Well, it seems like a good place to stop. And I mean, for the record, you know, I am okay with whatever people want to believe as long as they're not hurting other people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, particularly if it's something that is getting you sort of mystical, spiritual fulfillment.
Yeah. Everyone's different. Everyone's going to connect with things differently.
Yeah. And even if that's coming from a source that is like, you know, the Bible or the Old Testament or something like that, that does, you know, have, you know, maybe some complications to it. That's, you know, if it isn't infringing upon, as the master of the key said to Whitley Strieber, the right to thrive, then, you know, go for it.
I would also like to add that there are plenty of stereotypes of metalheads in movies.
Yeah.
Usually not positive ones. And I have never been offended by them, mostly because I know, yes, those metalheads do exist. And I've known some of them.
Yeah.
Yes. Totally. It doesn't mean all metalheads are, especially nowadays. But yeah, there's always been those Beavis and Butthead, level metalheads out there.
Yes.
So, but again, that doesn't offend me, you know? Like, I'm not like, oh, you Hollywood's anti-metal. I don't care.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right. Thank you, guys.
thank you.
You have been listening to Where Did the Road Go? This show is made possible in part from our Patreons, and we thank you and everyone listening for helping us continue this exploration of the strange. You can always find everything Where Did the Road Go related at www.wheredidtheroadgo.com. And thank you so much for your support.